Sit down here. So if you need to move around a little bit, you can get at him and see him a little bit. He's a handsome man.
Well, I was honored when Brother Stockton asked me to preach to you tonight. And, you know, I'll give you a little testimony how I got saved. I was born in Longwood in 1929. The stock market went down. We moved to Kissimmee. I went to the Baptist Church there in Kissimmee, and I was saved at the age of 8, baptized by Dr. T.S. Hubert. And that has been a while ago. Here I am tonight. But you know, God is the same. He is absent. He never changes. And I think tonight, as we think about missions, I think missions probably, can you hear me back there? Okay, very good. I think missions is probably the most important thing that our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us to do, it to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and make disciples of all nations. Not just preach, but we're to make disciples, which means that a disciple is a person who follows regardless of the situation. Now, you know, a missionary, many of them are, of course, supported by churches at home, but did you know that our citizenship is in heaven? Absolutely. And our commander-in-chief says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now that could be our next door neighbor. You know, there's where many times the church fails. I did start several churches. And I knocked on a lot of doors. I mean, I was one of these people that, you know, knocked on the door. A young man didn't need something like this or a cane to get around. But, you know, people depend on preachers to do it all. You know, we hire preachers, right? And most every church does. And, well, that's the preacher's job. No, it's not just the preacher's job. It's each one of us, you know. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, the gospel, shall come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with it. That's where the song originated. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Now, it's not just bringing them in, but winning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our great commander-in-chief, who our citizenship is in heaven, Now, this is something that we, you and I, ought to. This is not our home. We're only going to be here for a season. If I was here 100 years, that wouldn't be very long with the Lord, you know. Because listen, children in school these days are not taught the Bible. I have to tell you this. When we went to school here in Kissimmee, we saluted the flag, and we gave pledged allegiance to this country, and we had Bible reading in the school. Can you believe that? Bible reading, yes. We had scripture. And then we repeated the Lord's Prayer, of course, our Father in heaven. But you don't find it anymore. In 1963, they took the Bible out of the school. I don't know, do you remember 1963? Yeah. And the Supreme Court, oh my goodness, the Supreme Court then was very corrupt. And it was, you know, a lot of people rebelled at that, but not very many. The preacher said, well, it's the law. It's the law now. We got to obey that. And we can't bring a Bible to the school. Oh, no, no, no. No Bibles in school. Well, I tell you what, I would probably be in jail. We believe that when you, in fact, had Bible reading the first thing in the morning, the teacher would get up there and speak from the Bible, and then she would actually comment on the Bible. And the children, although they weren't saved necessarily, you know, there was some bad apples, a lot of them, but right on, the gospel was preached. And I do believe that God wants revival in this land.
Amen. Amen.
We need to be revived, every one of us. And he that cast his bread upon the water, it shall return in many days. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that when you go out and testify to people that they're going to get saved necessarily right then. Maybe they do. But if you give them the Word of God is what penetrates the heart. And these are things that I think I preach to myself, you know, because we are human. And we have to realize that however old we are, 90, 100, or whatever, God, the time God gives us, we are to be apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be sent out by some mission board, which is a good thing. I mean, it's good to go out, and give your life totally to the Lord out on the field somewhere, because God has given us the message, and our commander-in-chief in heaven is still there. Well, we don't see him walking around, but the Holy Spirit is still there, and the comforter. He's not only comforter, but I tell you, it is breathed. We breathe the Holy Spirit when we do wrong, and also, you know, there's a sin of not doing what we ought to do. And when we come before the Lord on that judgment It's not, well, Lord, I was good. I did all the, I did the best that I could. But there are certain things that each one of us are called to do. Now, you're not called to do what I am necessarily. But each one, the eye, Paul said, has a function. The ear has a function. My heart has a function. Everything on my body has a function. And we're to not to compare ourselves one with another.
What?
I did this, and he did that. This is not a problem. And we know that God is a loving God. But it grieves the Holy Spirit when we are not doing what we know we ought to do. Now, I'm not to tell you, or me, well, me, yes, what I try to be led of the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. He that is led by the Spirit of God, I mean, we should have that personal relationship with the Lord. There's a little bit of song. As your eyes caught the vision, as your heart felt the thrill, to the call of the Master, do you answer, I will? For the conflict of the ages is upon us today, and the armies are assembled, all in battle array. Are you one of the faithful? You know, we're at war. It's a spiritual battle, and it's also a physical battle. It's good to prepare for war at a time, and I thank God we have a president now that is preparing this country for war. And this means security, physical, for all of us. But God is our fortress, really, because the horses are prepared against the battle. I mean, for battle, the horses. That's the old time, and today is tanks and atomic bombs and all that sort of thing. But the salvation is of the Lord. And we need to be a praying people, because it's through prayer that things are accomplished. The Lord says that we should pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean to get down on our knees and just stay there all the time and just pray, pray, pray. But praying is communion with the Lord. Walk, we, like the preacher says, walk the talk. And talk, you might talk the walk, but it's more important to walk the talk. You know, it's easy to say something, but then there is the doing. Blessed are they the doers of the word and not hearers. You know, just the hearers. It's a good thing. Today we got people going to church in droves. I mean, and some of these churches are filled with people, and especially on Memorial Days and special days, oh, they come to church. But the thing is, even though this country has probably sent out more missionaries than any country in the world, we need missionaries at home. I mean, true missionaries, because that is really something. Because I remember even when I was a child in the 30s, it was, we had street preaching. Out in the streets, they would preach. Nobody come out there and said, well, you might cause a riot out here or something like that. Oh, yeah. Everybody didn't have churches back there. They had tents. There was tent revivals. And I don't know whether you remember the tent revivals or not, but now I think you got to even get a permit to have a tent. And certainly churches have to get a permit to even preach. That's ridiculous. Because we went out and started churches. There were churches that never were registered. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them, two or three people. I mean, it doesn't take a huge congregation. Now we got a church. Oh, I wonder. Well, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. And I like to see churches grow. I'm sure you do too. But you know, we are missionaries. This is absolutely the most important thing. Each one of us. That doesn't mean we're ordained. You go out and preach the gospel necessarily at the church, but we are missionaries. And we are given the mission of by our commander in chief. Now there's a lot of people, maybe I shouldn't say this, but there's a lot of people that are leaving the ministry. I'm talking about preachers. And why is that? We're not to look back. We don't. A preacher is, if he knows the Lord, he ought to be a witness for the Lord as long as he lives. Here I am, 90. I want to be a witness for the Lord. And I've tried to be in my neighborhood, knocking on doors, and with a cane in my hand and so forth. And I tell you, the point that I am really making tonight, that each one of us should feel the burden of lost souls, because people are dying and going to hell. I know we don't hear that much from the pulpits anymore, but there is a hell, and it's not for the. It was for originally for the angels that sinned in heaven. Have you ever thought of that? That war began in heaven. When the devil said, he was Lucifer, he wasn't the devil then, was he? Says, I will ascend to the sides of the north. I. And God not only was not pleased with that, but he was sent to the earth. Now, don't ask me how God works, because no man knows the actual mind of God. God does as he pleases. And he is not, there's nobody telling him what to do. He doesn't say, well, now I'll call this, all the people together here and ask them what they think about it. No, he is the ultimate in what is right and what is wrong. So this is what we are to understand, that God is a God that speaks, and it when he speaks, it is not there is no we can't question God. Now, many people do. Why does God do this? Why does God do that? God does as he pleases. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He loves people. The love of God is so great we cannot understand it. And I think of how Jesus, in all the pain and suffering that he went through on the cross, did you know what actually he died of? He died of a broken heart. Now that was really something. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, and despising the shame for you and for me, because God is no respecter of persons. To the down and out, to the up and out, or whatever, God is all things are leveled at the cross. There's no respecter of persons with God. Oh, this is the king. This man here, he was a great fellow. There'll be some on that day that said, even say, haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we, Lord, we have preached in your name, and we raised the dead, even some of us raised the dead, and we cast these devils out, and we heal people. And Lord, don't you think you ought to receive us? And the Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now, that doesn't sound, but you see, it's not works that saves us. When I came to the Lord at 8 years old, I didn't know all these long, preordained and all these long words that are used now. But I just knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that I needed somebody to save me, and Jesus saved me. And I remember the day, I remember the hour, and I remember going down in the water. And now that didn't save me, going down the water, but it was a testimony to the, to others that I had been saved. So tonight, I don't know what time it is. Have I preached long enough?
If you want to stop now, you can go on. It's up to you, Brother.
Huh? Have I preached long enough? Well, I tell you, we're living in perilous times, and we need to be praying for our president, praying for those in authority, praying for the world, praying not only that we would personally be safe, but willing to die for the Lord. Now, that is, that when you talked about dying, nobody wants to die, really. I want to live as long as I can. But I want to be faithful to the Lord as long as I live. I thank the Lord that I have peripheral neuropathy in both legs, but I still have a voice to preach. I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to witness for the Lord, and be faithful, and I pray that you do too, because each one of us will be judged, will stand, not go to hell or heaven. No, but we will, you know, the song goes, will there be any star in my crown, you know, when the evening the sun goes down. You know, we will be rewarded, not for our works, but the righteous will say on that day who have been born again, Lord, when saw you in the hospital? When did you see me visiting the sick and knocking on doors and winning people to the Lord? He will say, enter in to my beloved, into the kingdom prepared for those that serve it. And so my message tonight has been, be faithful. We're missionaries. That's probably the most misunderstood word that there is, missionary. Each one of us are missionary. Did you know that? You don't have to be ordained to be a missionary. That's good. We send people out and then we sponsor them. My daughter and I visited a church, and these two young people, Bobby and Sherry, were going to the mission field. And they were going to Haiti. And they have been down there now for, I guess, 30 years. And over that time, we have supported them, Bobby and Sherry Burnett. And I remember Bobby, before he was sent out, he could hardly speak. He was one of these people that could not speak hardly. He just, and so forth. And he just stuttered all over the place. Today, he can preach. I mean, he is a preacher. Love is not a thing. Love is something you do. It's not just, oh, I love you. I mean, they've been out there now for over 30 years. And my daughter and I have taken it on ourselves to support them from time to time. And the Lord has been good to them all these years out there. They have helped literally thousands of these natives. They're not native, really. They're very educated people now. They got schools for them, teaching them the Bible. And when they went out there, I mean, man, oh man, how in the world can they do anything in Haiti? These people, Doc Bolivar, the president of Haiti, he got about $1 billion himself in taxing the people, and then took off for France. Do you remember that? Doc Bolivar. You probably don't remember or know, keep up with these things. But here he was. He was a playboy. Yeah. He was a playboy. And he just took off. I've got what I want. I'm going back to France. You know, they speak French in Haiti. And now, we see that Haiti is coming back little by little. They've got hospitals there. They've got schools there. They teach them agriculture. And I'm just giving you that as an example. what a missionary is not somebody that, we're out here, we're going to be supported, and we're just, no. It's work. And that is, and each one of us are missionaries. And we have a great commander-in-chief that tells us, he's ordained us to preach the word and to be faithful. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless this message tonight. And Lord, help us to be faithful in our work. And we give you the present, we give you the all the glory. In Jesus' name.
It's going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Brother Harry, thank you for being with us. We're glad that you've come.
I'm glad to be here.
And thank you for your faithfulness, and we trust that you will stay faithful. With more words than you spoke here, your faithfulness to the Lord speaks loud. Thank you very much, Brother Harry.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to do it.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we do thank you that we've had the opportunity to have Brother Harry for the labor and work that he's done for you throughout all the years. Thank you, Lord, that he has been faithful tonight to come and to preach to us and share his heart with us here at church. And Lord, as we continue this month and working toward learning more about missionary work, God, may every opportunity we get to hear someone speak on it, teach on it, preach on missionary work, we'd have an open heart and open mind to hear from you and what you'd have us to do. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen.